Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. Verses 14 through 16. And occasionally the Lord will have me to give what I call a prophetic declaration over our congregation. The longer that I am pastoring, the more I'm learning about pastoring and the importance of leader of this house. And the reason why you have pastors and the reason why we have local assemblies is because there's so much on the inside of you that needs to be activated. So there are things, there are gifts, there are callings, there are words that are lying dormant until faith is given in that direction, and then they're activated in your life. And so my role, my responsibility, the most important thing I can do outside of the list of responsibilities of pastoring is to hear from God to activate different anointings that are already in you to be in operation in your life. And that's what today is. Today is an activation day. The reason I'm now seeing this is historically after Easter, those are one of your lowest attending days, which means that not for everyone, but for most, they're coming because they came to hear a word. They're coming with a different level of expectation. And so you were on God's mind. If you're listening to this, you were on God's mind today in what I'm about to share. But after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, things changed. Instead of having to wait once a year on a representative to go before the Lord for the people, everyone who accepted Christ could now boldly go to the Lord for themselves. And this idea, this notion was astonishing, because for thousands of years, everyone had to wait for the designated tribe and the high priest and the person who was specifically designated by God to represent the people to God on their behalf. But when Jesus died and when he was on the cross, the word records that at the moment that he passed, there was a great earthquake. And in that great earthquake, inside of the temple, inside of the tabernacle, there was a veil that led to the holies of holies, and the veil tore. One thing that you should note about the veil that tore is it did not tear from the bottom up, representing man to God. The veil tore from the top down, representing God to man. And so God was saying that I have completely removed anything that would separate you from having an authentic relationship with me. And so today, for every person who has accepted Christ, they can go boldly before the throne of grace. And you don't have to travel far either. Know that to enter into the presence of God, you don't have to wait until Sunday morning when we all gather. In order to enter into the presence of God, you don't have to wait to go to a particular town, to a particular reason. The presence of God lives on the inside of you. And at the speed of thought, not the speed of light, but the speed of thought, you can now access the presence of God and the house of God that is now within every single person that has accepted Jesus. Everything that you need, it's already in the house. And that's the word that I want to share this morning. Everything that you need, it's in the house. It's in the house. Sometimes don't we feel like we've got to go somewhere else to get what we need? Sometimes don't we feel like we don't have enough and what we're facing is too much for us to handle and too much for us to bear at times? Everything that you need, it's in the house. And I want to warn you today This is going to be a tad bit deep, but I believe that you can handle it, okay? I'm going to march through some scriptures because I have to give a foundation, and this is vitally important to your spiritual development today. And so if there's a way for you to take notes, I have some in the Bible app. If you have a notepad on your phone, iPhone, God forbid, even Samsung, that you can take notes. Because this type of message today is what I call steak. And this is something that I want you all to chew on. So most messages that I make are easily digestible for the average person. Most messages are fun. We have a great time. But sometimes we need to spend time in scripture, and I need you to see things for yourself. As we get closer to and just continue to keep it in prayer, securing our headquarters, we will do more with systematic teaching of the Word of God. That is something near and dear to my heart. Life groups is one way, and really the primary way that systematic teaching of the Word of God will take place, with different groups getting together, going through the Word of God. Like in the book of Acts with the Bereans, they were going back and forth and asking questions. That's the primary way that we really learn. But every so often, it's going to be important for myself, the ministry team, to sit down with the entire church and go through the Word of God as well. It's great to have fun at church, but I need something to anchor you when life hits you. I need you to hold on to something when life happens. I need you to know where it is and have the confidence to access it. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, it says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered into heaven," and he tells us who it is, he says it's Jesus, the Son of God, "let us hold firmly to what we believe." Verse 15. "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do." That's good news. How many of you all felt like what you're facing, you felt like you were the only person who could possibly be going through what you're going through? Well, we just see right here, Jesus understands our weaknesses because he faced the same testings that we do. But it also says, "yet he did not sin." He was perfect in those tests. So I like to hear from people that have faced what I faced and have a victory story on the other side. And so that's who we have in Jesus Christ. It says, "so let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God." Praying is about coming to God boldly. It's not about being timid. You know, I just want to give you this question. Have there been times in your prayer that you pulled back because you thought your request was too outlandish? And that's an area of sin consciousness, or being aware to where you don't measure up, that you have to begin to remove out of your life. And I pray that this message helps you to remove the idea that I'm not good enough out of your life. I mean, depending on if you were born again last Sunday during our Easter gatherings, or if you've been saved for 15 years, there's a level of your performance that you need to remove out of your walk with God. And that's something that separates our church from most teaching that is available about our walk with God. Most teaching dealing with our relationship with the Lord has a level of self-righteousness in it. They say that you have to do X, Y, and Z before you qualify for the anointing, you know, because people felt like because they worked so hard and they've been through so much, that's what qualifies them to walk in the anointing that they have. Nothing we do can qualify us to walk in the anointing, the favor, and the power of God, or else it would be wages earned. But the grace of God, the favor of God, is a gift. And so no matter how messed up we are at times, by Jesus Christ, you qualify to walk in his grace and his favor on your life. So I just want to just go ahead and let's just remove some weights right now that I sense spiritually in this room today, where you feel like I make too many mistakes for God to use me, that I don't do everything that I know I should be using or doing everything that I know I should be doing. And so because of that, you tell yourself, "God, I don't think I can pray for this. God, I don't think I can walk in this." There are things that he's showing you, and you think it might be for someone else who is in a better situation than you. But God wants to use you, the person who makes the mistakes, to show that he is not a respecter of persons, but he's a God who uses the things that everyone else throws away. If you've got a throwaway story, you are in the right position for God to use you and to promote you. And so the biggest thing that we need to, I believe, talk about today is if we need to boldly access the throne of our gracious God. In the words of the young people, where that though? Or where is it? Where is the throne of grace? Come on now. Like if somebody told you, I need you to go over to this particular location, they never showed you where it was, you're going to be left up to your own interpretation of where the throne of grace is. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, a couple chapters over, in verse 24. Let's establish where the throne of grace is located. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. Interesting. So Christ entered into a holy place that wasn't made with human hands. That's interesting. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. And so I first want to establish that the temple of God is not our physical body. The temple of God is not our physical body. That's the first thing I want to establish. Let's now go to back one chapter, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I told y'all this was going to be kind of meaty, but I'm just laying a foundation. So we need to access this throne of grace. Christ is seated in this place. The place is not our physical body, because when we die, we will put down this earth suit. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, we now have this light shining in our hearts. As we talked about last year during the Soul Therapy series, and we'll talk about again in June, the word heart there is not referring to the physical organ that resides within our chest cavity. The word heart there means our human spirit. So it's talking about the human spirit that lives on the inside now of this physical body. It says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, our human spirit. But we ourselves are fragile like clay jars containing this great treasure. So right now inside of your human spirit, there is great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from who? God, and not who? Ourselves. So there is so much treasure hidden on the inside of you right now. There's so much that you haven't even tapped into yet on the inside of you right now. And what we saw in Hebrews chapter 4 is God saying, you need to go boldly to access what you already have, which means that the treasure you need, it's already in the house. Let's keep reading in verse 8. Why do we need to understand that the power we have is from God and not ourselves? It says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. I want you to understand that you are never abandoned by God. Hidden inside of religious teaching not based in the Word of God says that there are things that you do to, quote unquote, grieve Holy Spirit and to quench Holy Spirit or cut off fellowship with God. But as we're reading right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, it says that we are never abandoned by God. I need that to get down into your heart today. You are never abandoned by God. It says that we get knocked down, but we are not destroyed, meaning that we can't look at what happens to us. We have to look inside our human spirit to pull from God's power, his strength, his might, so that we can get back up and keep on fighting for it. If you're trying to fight life in your own strength, you're trying to fight life in your own experience and what you can do, you're going to find out that you run out of strength rather quickly. But when you, every time things happen, you can go to the Lord and say, God, I need your strength. You begin to notice that because he's with you, you have the power, you have the favor, you have the force, and you have everything you need to get the job done. So Hebrews chapter 4, or 2 Corinthians, better yet, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We'll read verse 10. It says, through suffering. Suffering is dealing with the flesh. That's one side of Christianity that I believe that we haven't balanced enough. That in this life, there are going to be things that come against you that cause you to suffer in the flesh. What does that mean? Become uncomfortable. It says that when we're uncomfortable through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So what we just read here, just to capsulize this, because I'm just laying a foundation, is that this throne of grace is not necessarily talking about our physical body, but it's referencing our human spirit on the inside of us. And our human spirit has treasures that we need to access. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now. Let's go back a book to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. All right, so here we go. I need to establish this point. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. We're trying to answer the question, where is the throne of grace? Verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Watch this. Who lives in you? Where does Holy Spirit live in you? In your heart, which is also known as what? Your spirit. All right, let's repeat that one more time. Holy Spirit lives in you. Where does he live in you? Your spirit, okay? Everybody, let's repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit lives inside of my human spirit. As long as you're walking in this earth, your human spirit is located inside of your physical body, okay? But when you place this body down, do you also place down your human spirit? No. Your human spirit then goes with you to heaven, where you then will also receive the glorified body. So this physical body is just an earth suit, that we just like a piece of clothing that we put off when we transition. And we put this body off, our human spirit, our soul, it continues to live on for all eternity when we receive a glorified body, and then we live forever. Our minds can't comprehend eternity. Our minds think finite. Our minds think time. Okay? Am I losing anybody yet? Okay. So every so often, I just want to just put a clarifier out here. Every so often, we got to have a meat and potatoes conversation, amen. And y'all are doing good. All right, so before I can move on, because I have to establish this before I can move on to the fun part. Holy Spirit lives inside of us where? In our spirits. Excellent, excellent. And as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there is a host of treasure inside of our human spirit. Agreed? All right. And we also saw in 2 Corinthians 5 that Jesus is in there as well. And it's a temple that's not made with human hands. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 4, what we just read, when we boldly go to the throne of grace, We're not looking for something on the outside of us. We are able to tap into what we already have. Somebody say it's in the house. Somebody say it's in the house. It's in the house. All right. Now, here recently, my wife and I, we've lived at our particular home that we have now for the last 4 years. And there's been one room in our house that has not been furnished the entire 4 years. I know. Drop your rocks. And this year, we were planning on furnishing finally. Like at some point, you know, when you get over 30, you really need to have, if you have a home, you need to have furniture in every room of that home, or you need to get a smaller home. I just, you know, kind of believe that. So I needed to do grown person things and actually buy furniture. And so my wife and I went through a process of finding out, number one, what furniture do we want? And number two, we wanted to find it at the best price because we weren't in a hurry. I ain't had it for 4 years. I don't need to get it tomorrow. So we can find the best price, and so we can fully furnish the house. Well, one day while I was just, you know, I believe praying about just, you know, what to do. Honestly, I pray about financial decisions. Like, Lord, what do I do? The Lord said, Vince, everything you need is already in the house. I'm like, but we haven't bought furniture in 3 years. What do you mean everything I need is already in the house? And he began to show me that if you just move things around, what happened was what I owned was in the wrong position. It was in the wrong room. It was in the wrong place. It wasn't properly ordered where we needed to have it so that the full house could be furnished. And even though the Lord gave me instructions in my mind about what to do with the furniture that we had, it didn't make natural sense until I acted on what he said. Well, wouldn't you know, once I obeyed the Lord with the furniture that was already in the house for the last 3 years, every single room in our house has furniture. Taught me a lesson about our spirit. See, we look on the outside. You got to think. See, all sin is us looking on the outside for things that already belong to us on the inside. And worry, all that is looking on the outside for things that already belong to us on the inside. And what happens is our energy is being diverted into distracting forces to cause us not to see what we already have. In the same way that everything I needed was already in my physical house, the same thing is whatever you're facing right now in your life already resides on the inside of you, but you have to now pull it out. You've got to bring it out. So I want to talk about holiness. And a hush went over the entire church. I said, you know, and the Lord was sharing this with me. He said, I want you to talk to your church about holiness. I got scared. Because holiness is not a fun topic. And holiness has been used to beat people over the head. And so, holiness, however, is the only way you are going to access every item inside of the house of your spirit. We'll see. Hopefully we'll get to that scripture. The Bible says, without holiness, no man, no person shall see the Lord. But we have to understand the definition of true biblical holiness and not man-made controlled definition of holiness. All right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I really wish I had 2 hours for this. Now, I know y'all don't, but I do. This is one of the days that I literally need to take my time. I'm going to do my best of ending this in the next 10 to 15 minutes. But I want you all to hold on to this revelation because I believe it's going to free people to live at the very best level that they know they can. I think the bigger question you need to ask yourself is, why am I not giving myself my best effort? This time of year is very special to me personally, because I get a chance, and thanks to Facebook, to reflect on what happened throughout previous years this same time. And I began thinking about the effort that I put in for other people. I began thinking about the hours that I put in for other people. And I'll be honest, I hadn't put that same effort in myself, in my own church. I mean, let me tell you, put some work in. But when it comes to my own church, I hadn't been the same kind of way. I hadn't been as committed to excellence as I know I can be. And I'm talking about my church. And the Lord asked me a simple question. He said, how long will you not give yourself your very best? And that's what led to Life Beyond the Middle, that series. That series has transformed my life forever. If you need to go back and listen to a series that will motivate you to be everything that God wants you to be, that's one of those series. I'm telling you, there are things that I'm seeing now I have never seen as it relates to my walk with the Lord. But now, as a church, I really want us to commit to giving our very best. And that's in every area of your life. I don't want you to sell yourself short. I really don't. Because what I'm discovering is that on the other side of your very best is what God already intended for you to live. That life on the other side is so much greater. That life on the other side of you giving your best is so much more fulfilling. And I believe is the greater good, is that not that you have all these material blessings, but it's so that you can live a life where at the end of the day, you can go to bed and be happy about the effort you put into that day and say, God, I gave you my all. And that's a greater governor over your life than rules and regulations. That keeps you in a place of dependence on God for everything that you need. I think about all the miracles that took place over the last year to bring the outlet to where it is today. I want to be honest, you all. I don't know how we got here, but I'm so glad that we did. But can I tell you what honestly scares me about the next years to come for the outlet? It's how we going to do all that again? And it causes me to depend more on the Lord. Because you can become a victim of your previous successes. We've reached a place as a ministry where whatever happened prior to us getting started doesn't matter anymore. And that's kind of scary, because you could get off the hook when it's like, oh, poor baby, he had a lot happen to him. He went through a lot. You know, we give him a pass. Now that you've gone through that, everything you do from this point forward is all based on, did you hear from God and did you obey what the Lord told you to do? Can't blame nothing on anybody else. And that's the life that we're called to live, where you got to stop blaming others for where you are and just take responsibility that this is where I am because these are the choices that I'm making. I wish such and such was there. Well, they weren't. If they would only gave me this, well, they didn't. So the reality is, what are you going to do with today? And it deals with holiness. So Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. Let's talk about holiness for a brief moment, and I'm going to run through this, and then prayerfully at a Bible study, I'll come back to this series. All right, Isaiah 6:1, and this is Isaiah talking. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Let me establish something right here. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So we're reading an Old Testament passage where they didn't have the access and the rights that you currently have. So again, this is more, this is like a class today. So class, that was in the Old Testament. So this is critical thinking in the Word. And I want to make a point about critical thinking. I don't want you all to take my word because I'm saying something. I really want you to question everything I give to you because this has to line up with Scripture, okay? All right, so I'm going to do things to show you how to critically think in the Word so that I can never get off and just preach my own gospel, or anybody who communicates across this pulpit can never share with you anything that can mislead, all right? So I want you to critically think. In the Old Testament, he was able to see this. But in the New Testament, under the stipulations that we have, what we just discovered, that this temple that is not made with hands is where? So everybody say, in my human spirit. Right? So in your human spirit. So what we're about to read is Isaiah giving you a picture of the reality on the inside of you right now. Okay? I want you all to, if you could just envision and see who you are right now. My God, that is, if there's only one thing I preach the rest of the time I'm the pastor of this church, I want you to see who you are today. And let's start. It says, he saw the Lord sitting on a lofty throne. So he sees the Lord sitting on the throne inside of our human spirit, and the train of his robe or his glory, it filled the temple. You are wall to wall filled with the power of God. Think about that. You, wall to wall. But now we think about, but I sin. I don't do right. I got some habits. We'll deal with that later. But you right now, a wall to wall with Holy Spirit. Let's keep going. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With the two wings, they covered their faces. With the two wings, they covered their feet. And with the two, they flew. Verse 3. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." There is a canister of God's glory on the inside of you right now, waiting for you to release it. So when we're singing, "Lord, we want more," what we're asking, not, "God, I need more of you on the inside of me." We're saying, "God, I want to see more of you on the outside of me." The basic English version of glory is actually being able to tangibly experience God. Amen. Anybody dealing with any symptom of sickness and disease?